Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Charles is up next. Hey, Charles.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Okay.
Charles Allen here. Bestman, let me defend the man, but first, here's a tip. Never lend your bike to a bar. Bob Riley, the governor up in Alaska, AD, the University of Alabama, all had bike problems. They all were Bob. It's B-O-B-O-B, Bob on bivouac on a bike. It was March 25, 2012. And Bob Sykadent concluded April Fool's Day with a cracked vertebrae. But suddenly came a big buck from out of the deep, a six-pointer, and that's my tweet. That's my climb. Hey, Charles Allen here. Best.
That's his tweet. That's his crime.
Charles Allen here. Bravo.
And that's my tweet.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. You can watch on the Twitch app. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. And we are back today. Yesterday, we had the big golf tournament. My daughter... Later in the evening, my wife was using my wallet to get something off the internet for my daughter. And then my daughter took my wallet and jokingly threw it. And ha ha ha. And then my wife said, put it back. So I got up this morning and I'm getting out the door. Mm-hmm. And my wallet is in one place and it is not there. So I wake up my wife and Rich and I were talking one time and we said, my son's going to camp on Sunday for 3.5 weeks. And we were talking about, you know, he hasn't hit puberty really yet. And he's 13 and how much kids change.
Mm-hmm.
So I told that to my wife. And now my wife has been like, Mile, you can sleep with me. You can sleep in my bed. So my daughter then sleeps on the floor in the room. But she has a whole situation. She takes every blanket from everywhere and uses it. So anyway, so I go and wake up my wife. And Zoe knows she's done something wrong, so she goes downstairs, and we're looking, and she goes, Dad, and I'm like, yeah, and she goes, it's in the trash, okay? Like, she had put it in the trash, and I should have known that.
Your wallet was in the trash?
Yes, and I should have known that. There's a recycling bag that is right above where my wallet would go. But, like, you know, silly dad didn't look in the trash.
I did not know it was in the trash.
Right. He looked at me like I had five heads. Like, oh, yes, this should, oh, of course, the trash. That's where it should be.
Oh, well, glad you found it. I'm glad you, before it was, you know, it was attacked by raccoons. And
oh, how'd that wind up, by the way? What happened to the raccoons?
Oh, well, I put it on Instagram. What I did is I came home And then I bravely kicked over the trash can.
Yep.
And then my son and I looked, and there were three raccoons sitting in the trash can.
They scatter after that?
Well, they sit there and they look at you like idiots. And so we sat there for about, you know, 3 minutes and looked at them, and they looked at us, and then we went inside, and then they left.
Oh, good, good, good.
Very petrified. But apparently when I was at work, no one had, to my knowledge, had been listening to the show. But the neighbors to our left were contacting my wife and saying there's raccoons all over the place. They're out and about. So this mother raccoon was none too happy about her children being in this trash can. So there was a neighborhood watch on raccoons that were going to and fro.
Have you thought about getting excuse me one of those clamps that they have to keep the lid down?
They can get those. They say a brick,
or you could use a brick, sure, mm-hmm. which makes it even probably easier.
So they say a brick
uh-huh.
is what they're saying to do. So
okay.
That is how I handled it, John, very bravely.
Mm-hmm.
Very brave.
Yeah, the swift karate kick, having them eventually run. I just love the fact that you said they just sat there and stared at you for a few minutes.
Well, far better than them scattering in all directions, which would have led to paranoia.
Now, was there just, had they ripped through half your trash bags and everything? Like, was it a mess? I mean,
this was the recycling.
Okay.
And there was really nothing in it. So they kind of, if there was more stuff in it, they would have been able to get out, but there was nothing in it.
Mm.
So, yeah, they didn't even get anything to eat. Now, I'm sure that, and then my wife's like, I'm like, I bet you there's a bunch of disease in that thing now. And she's like, well, we should have, I know people come out and clean them. I'm like, yes, Stephanie, let's have the people come out and clean the trash cans because, we spend so much time living in them.
Cleaning the trash
can. Yeah, we spend so much time just, hunkered down in a trash can. That this is exactly how we should be spending our money.
Well, you're talking about how your son's getting older, and I was telling Fred how just in the past, I think that my wife does a thing where she measures on the wall, and he's grown. I think it was almost 5 inches within the last 4 months.
Like 5 inches in 4 months.
Insane.
When they hit puberty,
it's insane. Wow. How fast out of nowhere, and he went from sounding like a kid to James Earl Jones within like a year. Like just his voice has completely changed. But so for Father's Day, his present to me was he gave me a note that says, I'm going to pay to take you to go see the new Fast and Furious movie. And he said, because every time I see the commercial on TV, I see your face light up as if it's like I can't hide my excitement. And so I was like, all right. So I bought my tickets. I'm going Friday night, opening night, to go see the new Fast and Furious. And yesterday I was like, well, if I'm going to see this movie, then... and you're going to go with me, then I have to introduce you to the world. He's never seen any of them.
Very controversial decision here.
I made a wildly controversial decision.
Why is this?
Because I sat down and we watched the first half of our first Fast and the Furious movie, and I made the bold decision not to start with Fast and the Furious 1. I said,
he's lost now.
As I said, there's so many things that you can't decipher during these high speed car chases. The subtleties.
I would imagine
happening.
They start with Henry Ford.
It's true.
And then they show the assembly
Model T,
line. They show the advent of the assembly line and take you through.
Right. It's not so fast. But I started with Fast Five. Because my opinion on that was, first of all, he loves The Rock. So that's the first one The Rock shows up in. So you instantly got him. My second thing is, that's so dated, the first one, all right? There's going to be characters from the fifth one that are going to appear in the ninth one. He's going to have no idea what the hell's going on if I start him with the first one.
Very confusing.
Yeah. I mean, you got to throw him right into the universe.
There are no characters in the first one that appear in
you had
five, six, and seven.
They've all died.
Full days. You had 5 full days to take. Well, spoiler alert. No one knew about the one guy dying. You had 5 full days.
Mm-hmm.
To take him through the whole universe.
I did, and I just didn't have enough time to do it, so I said, we're starting with Fast Five.
Cat's in the cradle, man.
We're going to go 5, 6, and then if we have time, we'll probably go 7, maybe. Because then, yeah. and then just, because then after that, because 8 was okay.
6 and 7 are the sweet spot.
I'm never going to show him 2. Three's probably never going to make it in You know, once he gets all the subtleties of what's going on, then we'll go back to the first one. It was like I told my wife. It's like, you know, if you were going to show your kids Star Wars, if you had tickets to go see Empire, you wouldn't show him The Phantom Menace first. No, you'd want to show him, like, A New Hope. You'd want to show him Episode 4.
It's exactly closer to what's going on. I was thinking of.
Right.
You need also to show him the Criterion Collection so you can get Vin Diesel explaining everything.
I wonder if there is a DVD commentary from back in the day for the first Fast and the Furious.
It's got to be.
Because
it's got to be.
I actually own that DVD. Like, it's funny. We have, like, the most wasted, like bookcase in our entire apartment's got, like, DVDs and CDs in it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you don't need any of these. And I actually have the first Fast and the Furious. I should try to I don't even know if I have a DVD play anymore. I think I do. I should try to bust it out and see if there's, like, a Vin Diesel commentary on
Does he have a PlayStation?
He does. That's a great point. Okay, yeah. So we can watch it on the PlayStation. He's got a PS4, which I think still has discs.
Yes.
Am I right? Okay.
It does.
Yes.
All right.
And if you want the best, so we had Judd Apatow on the show once, but Judd Apatow did a 4-hour documentary on the life of Gary Shandling. I won't get into how he knows so much about him, but it's like really thorough. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So when he was doing the Larry Sanders show, he had his real life girlfriend, who he had been with for like years, was on the show, and they broke up in real life. And so he fired her for the last season and she sued him. So for the DVD extras, he goes and sits down with her for the first time in like 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And they have an interview. Like it's the Larry Sanders Show bonus, like, DVD stuff is the best of all time. Like, very uncomfortable, very, oof. He does it. He boxes Alex Baldwin and they get, like, mad at each other. It's like really, like, Baldwin's getting pissy. And,
oh, wow.
And it's fat Baldwin, too.
Oh.
Back when Baldwin was getting fat. So that is just a little suggestion for you people.
I remember the best DVD commentary thing or bonus that I saw was, I remember on the Boogie Nights DVD, there was an extended version of the Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly action movie that they did. Remember how they, like, made those really awful? They wanted to get into the movie industry, and they made that really awful action film. There was an extended stuff on that, and also more about their band, which to me, that was the best part of that movie anyway, when they tried to be rock stars.
Well, in Boogie Nights, they show, you know, when Mark Wahlberg is in there with the Asian director, and he says, "I block my own scenes," and the Asian director goes, "No, you don't."
Yeah.
That's exactly word for word something that really happened.
Oh, they took it from like an older film that they ripped
it
off from?
Like an old porno.
Oh, really? Wow.
With John Holmes.
Oh, wow.
And so in the Boogie Nights DVD bonus footage, it has the John Holmes and that director guy. Wow. And John Holmes talking about, like, what a badass. Because that whole crime thing was based on something, I guess, John Holmes. I've never seen the pornos, but something John Holmes did.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, it's word for word the same.
Oh, wow.
It's him going, like, you know, acting all cool and smoking and going, like, you know, and this gives me a chance to direct, and the Asian guy's rolling his eyes, and he's like, you know, and I get to block my own scenes. He goes, well, hold on. You don't get to do any of that.
Did you ever see Wonderland, that movie with Val Kilmer as John Holmes? Yeah, that was pretty good, because that was all about the actual murders and all that craziness, which I was not aware of that story until I saw the movie.
And that also has a bonus stuff of the real, like, John Holmes stuff and all that. Yeah, it's I think that's the only reason I bought Wonderland, is because of the bonus footage that they had.
Wow.
All right. And anyway, if you're wondering how we did in the tournament, we did okay.
It sucked.
I was asking John. John doesn't seem to think so, but I think that's the best we've ever done.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that we didn't embarrass ourselves. But I mean, there are people coming in with like a 13 under, 14 under, and
yeah, the cheaters.
We finished with like a, what, 7 over, I believe,
something like that. All right. 7 over.
Wallach swings a big stick. Dan O'Brien consistently good. Yeah. Fred had some huge shots. Wasn't a disaster. I mean, I wasn't great.
We used plenty of shots, yeah. But I mean, it was. I mean, we had many par putts that we missed. So it could have been worse.
And it flew by, which was awesome.
Very
rare. It flew by until it was over, and I realized we had been in the sun from 8 in the morning, from 7:45 in the morning until 12:15.
But if you're in a scramble, it's easy, 6 hours. We finished it in 4:30.
I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed being with you guys. John got me out of there a lickety-split,
oh, yeah,
which I appreciated. Because then I heard... I heard Zolak and Bertrand going like, "What is that? Who is that in the background?" That's Hardy. And then Tom was like, "Yeah, that's obnoxious." And I went, "There you go,
doing the auction."
The most thankless job in the world. And John grabbed me and he said, "I've talked to everyone. Let's go." And I said, "Sounds good to me." It was before they served lunch. So I said, "All right, I will leave with you." And then Dan was right in front of us while we were leaving.
Richard, real quick, I get out of the parking lot. I pull up to like the first stop sign. I look in my rearview mirror. There's Fred and John. I was like,
yeah.
"Yep." Guess who invented the Irish goodbye?
And I was about 5 minutes before you guys.
And then was gone.
The only thing it beats is the Swiss goodbye. The shirt and leave goodbye.
Yeah. No, but I walked through the, you know, I went through the clubhouse and kind of glad handed with people. How'd you do? Oh yeah, we did great. You know, and I did that and walked around to make sure that there was,
I did the same thing.
Recognition.
I've been
and then
seen
I went right back around and out to the car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I bid on something because the guy's like, "No one has bid on my thing," and so I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll bid on it." And then hearing that in the car on the way back, I realized we did the right thing. That's the most thankless job in the world. Is just even if we were sitting there, someone would have had a problem with something, most likely that I did, and the whole thing would have, so it's better just to get out of there. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the big move that was made at the very beginning of Brad Stevens' tenure, he speaks about Kemba Walker, Al Horford, and articles slandering him. We will get to that in a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recap me what you missed. It's Dutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Dutcher and Rich. Rich, there is someone who disagrees with the way that you're raising your children. Ben, go ahead.
Now, I feel that you're doing a disservice to your son, Rich, because you're skipping out on 2001's The Fast and the Furious. How is your son going to understand the origins of La Familia and the love of Corona beer if you do not watch these in order?
It's true, because, you know, even at the very beginning of Fast Five that I showed him yesterday, there was the dude who betrayed them at the beginning in the first one, who was like, "You never believed me. You always talk about family. I'm your family." And you turned your back away.
That's Vince.
Yeah, Vince, of course. And my son's head was like spinning. He was like, "What are these subtleties that I'm missing here? I can't understand the undertones."
the only movie I would give you permission to skip would be Tokyo Drift, because that kid who was the quarterback in Friday Night Lights, they should have just killed him off or not made that movie in the first
place. Yeah, Sling Blade. You know, there was, you know what was weird is Tokyo Drift, when I saw it in the theater, I remember sucking. And then, like, it was on TV the other day, and that race at the end was not awful. It, like, wasn't, and I guess not awful is the standard, but apparently, for that one, but I'm going to skip 2 and 3. Those will be the last ones that he sees.
That's for horrible. Completest. The drifting down the mountain, that's not good.
Yeah, no, we're going 5, 6, 7, and then maybe back to 4, and then 8, Hobbs and Shaw, and I think that's how it goes from there. So,
All right.
Well, I appreciate the advice. I mean, I'm a bad father, I guess, but he likes The Rock. What can I say? Well, it was Brad Stevens' first move as president of basketball operations, and it was a big one. Kemba Walker and his albatross of a contract, along with the 16th pick in this year's draft for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a second rounder, and hopefully the chance to get better sooner. Yesterday, Brad Stevens admitted that despite liking the guy, this is not what he had envisioned for Kemba.
You know, we felt that one of the things that we wanted was the ability to be, you know, unencumbered moving forward and kind of have a, you know, a road ahead. And we have a lot of things that we have to address appropriately. And, you know, this was really hard. This was not the ideal first few weeks on the job move, just because of the kind of person that Kemba is and the kind of professional he is, and, you know, and how good of a player he is and continues to be. And so a lot of hard calls, but that part with this year's pick versus maybe future picks, yeah, that was a big driver in making this decision.
So all of this comes on the heels of an article from Jared Weiss of The Athletic, which talked about the dysfunction and distrust between Kemba Walker and Brad Stevens last season. So the article states that, according to a bunch of team sources, there was an air of dysfunction in the locker room, with the relationship between Stevens and Walker characterized as tension-filled. They also said that Stevens was perceived to be harder on Walker than on other top players. This came in the wake of Gordon Hayward's departure, after which the sources said Hayward told Stevens he needed to establish a stronger voice with players if they were going to win.
Worked famously.
It's two guys who haven't won anything telling each other how to do their job.
Right.
So several team sources felt Stevens was more aggressive with certain players this season, which included Walker, who was criticized for his defensive mistakes. Those sources said Walker and Stevens began to butt heads. They wrote that Walker maintained his professionalism throughout the season, but his health issues, the team's poor performance, and boos from the TD Garden fans, something that particularly pissed him off, according to sources, made him sour on his situation in Boston, and had spoken privately about being willing to move to a new team. It had become clear he was not going to be in the team's long-term plans. Okay, there's one thing I don't get about this right here, is that he's bitching about them trying to move him, yet he wanted to be moved. So why the complaining?
Because he wants them to like him, but him not to like them.
Or one feeling came before the other. He was bitching, and then they decided to move him.
Well, I mean, because according to the way it was written, they said that made him sour in a situation in Boston, the booing. This is before they even mentioned them trying to trade him. They said that he had spoken privately about being willing to move to a new team. It had become clear that he was not going to be in the team's long-term plans. So the way this is written, because, I mean, that you bring up a good point, but the way it's written, it makes it sound like it was those things that triggered him wanting to leave and not their wanting to trade him. Because I know that, I guess, as early as last offseason, Danny was trying to get that contract and get it out of town. Well,
it's like every time I get an email from a listener telling me how much I suck, I go, I'm leaving. I don't like this anymore.
Well, Stevens was asked about those reports yesterday, and here's response.
Coached him for 2 years. I have nothing but great things to say about him. Really good teammate, really good player, really good person, easy to be around every day. And so,
makes
you know,
mean,
and I think that's what made it the most difficult part of it, obviously.
That's why he's got to stay with Zolak and Bertrand, and I can't interview that every week. Like, that's just too diplomatic. I'm sorry. We don't need to interview
Brad
Stevens.
By the way, you liked coaching him so much that you moved him before anything. You moved him before
first order of business.
Yeah. Like, before, like, the draft workouts, before everything. You moved, like, you didn't even have a chance to, you know, evaluate the draft class. You just moved him. I mean, you moved him as soon...
As soon as you could.
Literally as soon as you could.
Yep.
The theory on that was that Oklahoma City, had they gotten to the draft, would have looked in another direction. I don't know what direction that
That's
would
fine.
Be.
It's still the right move.
It is the right move.
I'm not saying it's not the right move, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't have looked in another direction. All I'm saying is that you guys know as much as I do that to deal a guy this quickly in the offseason does not happen very often.
That was that means you had been planning to do this for a long, long time. And you finally, and you got your window, that moment, as you said, John, for Oklahoma City, and you said, I'm not passing this up. Well, the article continues saying that several team sources suggest the Celtics' culture of competition is eroding, with more than one source pointing to the players' perceived indifference toward Kyrie Irving stomping on the Celtics logo after the final home game of the season.
Which I said a million times that you can think it's as cheesy as you want, but A, Kyrie did it on purpose, so it meant something.
Mm-hmm.
And B, that these guys, that it is a big deal, that none of these guys... you heard me after the following game, like...
You gotta do something.
Just none of them were even physical. I mean, some of these. No one's physical anymore. No one. I mean, the end of that Philadelphia Atlanta game. I mean, no one was even contesting shots for parts of that. Like, or helping out on defense. But nonetheless, I mean, you can be a tiny bit physical, and they weren't.
No,
and they didn't care. And again, it's like 15 guys in the league. You know, all want to control their own destinies, and they really don't care what team they're on. It's just a matter of, you know, the grass is always greener and being able to move around wherever you want to, and good. So it's never going to work out, so enjoy.
Well, their indifference toward that, they said, was viewed as a red flag that they did not exhibit the same sense of pride in the organization that had been the Celtics' calling card in years past. On top of that, according to a source, Brooklyn's Blake Griffin asked the Celtics player if he should join the team midseason and was told not to come to Boston because of apparent dysfunction. Wow, they really missed out on that one.
Who do you think that was?
Tristan Thompson. Yeah, it's Tristan Thompson.
It's got to be Tristan Thompson.
Easily.
But what's funny, what's odd about the article is it just like jumps around a lot, and it doesn't really give you anything meaty other than the Blake Griffin thing. Like it's okay, so he was... He favored Marcus Smart. He was too mean to Kemba, which they don't really go into any explanation of how. And I don't know. I've read articles like damning franchises and stuff like that, and I was excited to read this article, and there really wasn't a whole ton of explanation.
So if you take a look, okay, so let's keep score here. So Kemba seems to be a good dude on the surface, but Kemba didn't like that Brad was too tough on him and didn't like the fans booing the team when they didn't play well. Booing him, yeah. Kemba also didn't seem to like it when Brad gave preferential treatment to Marcus Smart, who was the senior player on this team, and Jalen and Jason, who are both all-stars.
Yeah, well, guess what, Kemba?
So
that's your career from now on.
I was about to say, Kemba may be a good guy, but all this is true. He sounds soft as hell. Like, I mean, of all that stuff that he's complaining about, if that's the case... Get used to it, man. You're right, because that's going to be your life for the rest of your career here in the NBA.
The booing thing, if I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, he might have been frustrated about a bunch of stuff, got him booed during a game, and then said something to someone about it, and then that made it into the article. If I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt, I would like to think that an athlete his age with his experience really didn't sit home, you know, torturing himself that he got booed at the Garden.
Well, if you think about it, that's the first time in his NBA career as a member of the home team he's probably gotten booed.
Well,
I mean, I'm not saying this excuses any of it. I think that he's not used to it.
Yeah, coming from a place like Charlotte.
I mean, no one cares in Charlotte. No one has ever cared in Charlotte.
Well, how many times do they cheer him?
Well, that's not the point. What I'm saying is you get to Boston where people take their NBA team much more seriously. You're coming off a trip to the conference finals last year, and you turn into a 500 team. You're going to get booed. Well, that's what happens.
I've always said the Garden crowd is way too hard on the players. That's what I've always said. If you want to play in this town, you better get used to that vicious Garden crowd that you have to go up against.
I'm not saying they're the most vicious fans. What I'm saying is it's probably a change for him.
Obviously, I'm being sarcastic, and I'm saying that, I mean, it's funny because we can put ourselves in these guys' shoes for much, much less money. I mean, if every time a caller screamed at me and every time I got 15 emails telling me to go kill myself, like, I don't, like, sit home and, I mean, this, I've been here for 15 years. It's not like I get sit home and plot my exit strategy from Boston. I mean, we go through this.
Yeah.
Like we do.
Yep.
So, I mean, all right, man, go to Oklahoma City where they don't care.
Well, the other thing that I thought was weird was who was pissed that the team didn't do anything when Kyrie stomped on the logo, because no one acted like they were pissed.
No.
So who are they quoting there?
No.
Unless it's Brad Stevens upper management?
I think you're reading that wrong. I think it was management looked at it as a sign that there was a big problem with the team having any identity or pride, which is...
That's right.
Which is what my whole thought on it was. Well,
then that to me sounds like it came from Danny Ainge.
Yes.
I would think it would be Danny.
Danny laughed at some things in our interviews where the people thinking Danny got fired, I think, are out of their minds. Because Danny laughed at some stuff in our interviews. Like, I made a joke about not trying and getting paid, and I said, well, you know, I could just play for you or something, and he started laughing. He didn't shut it down. He was fed up with that crap. I told you, the only time I've ever freaked out about the Celtics in my entire time here is after that game five. I mean, if I was management, ownership, coach, I mean, you obviously just don't care. You have no personal pride. You don't care about your teams. I mean, there's AAU teams they put together for a tournament that care more about their team than you cared about the Celtics. And again, if it's all immature and corny, Kyrie did it for a reason. Kendrick Perkins responded to it for a reason. So obviously for these guys, it's the thing. I mean, you have to build a culture of family, a culture of team. That whole thing, it's not crap. I mean, they do. You have to have that, or you're never going to succeed. Or it's a bunch of guys just going out and playing basketball and looking for money. You have to in business. That's why a lot of these places that aren't having people come back to work, I think, are going to have to reconsider that. Is that you have to build a culture of you know, an identity around a greater good of a team. Google does it. I mean, all these major corporations do it. I mean, it's part of what you need to have.
Well, it was more just anything, just pride.
That's my entire point.
Yeah.
Pride in your organization, pride in your company, pride in your role in it. It extends beyond basketball.
Like, it means something more to you than showing up and going to work.
Yes. Exactly.
And you know what? Just from a fan's perspective, just showing the fans that you care.
All right. How corny is it? Whatever. But, I mean, what did the Bruins do every offseason under Julian? They went and did some team retreat. Now, it's corny and the players shook their head, but why'd they do it? It might not have worked, but why'd they do it? To build a culture around the team, to get them caring, to get them working on the same page. Again, Google does a ton of that crap. I mean, it's the management book, the whole worshiping at the altar of, like, I work for Google. It's the same thing. This isn't just sports. You have to care. If someone was, like, burning down all the, you know, sports hub crap and, you know, spray painting and, you know, attacking some member of the staff, you would have to think that you would take that a little bit of personally, you would, or at least it would bother you. If you didn't take it personally, it would bother you. You'd be like, who the hell are these a-holes down the street, you know, coming after so-and-so? I mean, it would bother me. Someone started tagging Zolak from the other station, constantly attacking Zolak without any merit. I would get pissed off at the guy. I would think it was stupid. So, whatever. They don't have it. Well,
now it sounds like that is one of their goals. And it's going to be interesting, the moves that they make to find out.
Bringing certain players. I thought Tristan Thompson was that guy.
And he might have been the cooler. He might have been the opposite. He might have been the guy causing the tension.
Oh, he's the opposite.
Well, he's the one obviously talking
trash. He told him to blow off the regular season.
Right. So it sounds to me like, I mean, and I agree with you, he's the one who probably told that to Blake Griffin. So you bring that in, it's the Kardashian curse, man. It happened
well,
with...
Well, yeah, he was just left the club with two chicks.
Three. It was one on three.
I'll tell you, that guy has got more video of him at clubs because there's that video that all those chicks like grabbing Anna's wiener. Like, that guy's got more video. That guy's got to stay out of clubs because they just take their security cameras and tape it and sell them.
It is. Yep. Tristan Thompson, Ben Simmons, the curse of the Kardashians in 2020. Yeah.
Ben Simmons is with the Kardashians?
Yeah, he was with Kendall, right? Kendall Jenner?
I think that's right.
Is that the right Jenner?
I thought it was Kendall Jenner.
He got the real model, like the classy one.
That's right.
No, thank you. I'll take the one who's had all the plastic surgery. Thank you very much. The richest one. That's the one I'll take.
Yeah, Kendall Jenner he was with. Yeah. I don't know if he still is, but he was.
She's like the classy one. All right. She, no plastic surgery or anything. All right. We'll be back. We can talk about this player coming out as gay. I think this guy's gonna have a lot of problems, unfortunately. Here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. All on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Richard Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't touch me. 985 the Sports Hub. We're touching and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So, it was a big news story yesterday. Even all the major networks are reporting on it with the very first active NFL player coming out as gay, Carl Nassib.
I knew it the whole time.
Of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Carl was gay?
I always felt that.
Huh. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The one thing I knew about the guy was because I'm unfortunately the last person still watching every episode of Hard Knocks. Yes. But he actually made an impression when he was with the Browns, right? Was that the Browns? I think he was originally drafted with the Browns.
And one of my guys.
He went to this room with Myles Garrett and a bunch of other guys saying, hey, if you want to actually make a ton of money, here's how you should invest it. And he like went on this board and basically told all of them how like to turn this amount of money into that amount of money. And like he had all these guys like eating out of the palm of his hand because he was such a smart financial guy. And what he was saying was making sense. It was kind of like common sense. But the way he got all these guys to buy into what he was saying.
Alpaca farms.
Maybe that's it. You just get the alpacas and, you know, it's like 40% a year. I heard that they're the interest rate is going up on those things. So he came out, made an Instagram video and had this to say.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay.
I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate. And I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America. And they're truly doing incredible things. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can. And I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day. Work hard.
Obviously, it is a. It was an interesting thing when it came out there.
Big and I know backyard, that it, too.
Yeah, yes. Great backyard. A lot of birds. But there was a bunch of support that came out, even from the NFL. They, you know, Goodell immediately had a statement at the very ready. The Raiders even put one out, too. Thank goodness they kept the keyboard away from the old owner there, Mark Davis, because we've seen how in the past year he hasn't been very good.
I can only imagine how Mark Davis would have handled that.
Do you remember when the Floyd verdict came out and he put, "I can breathe"? You're like, oh my goodness gracious, that might have been a little bit... Not the, should have someone
wise.
Consult with someone before you send that one out.
The best analysis of that I heard was just someone going like... you're going to like this. Like,
yeah, I
like,
can breathe, yeah. Right? He just said, like, here come like, all the accolades. Yeah,
come on, give me some, like, let's make this about me.
Yeah, so the Raiders, they put out
and
a
I'm talking about
well.
When he said I can breathe. Yeah, of I'm course. Not talking about the guy coming out as gay.
No, of course. So, Fred, you and I were talking about this off the air. It's interesting because so far we've seen nothing but positive reactions.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember, oh gosh, 3-4 years ago, I think it was, and I forget why the topic was brought up. Maybe somebody had come out in a, I don't know, somewhere. But we asked Brandon Merriweather, yeah. Who obviously a friend of the show, you know, how would you feel if somebody on your team came out as gay? And he said, I wouldn't like it. And he goes, it would be awkward as hell in the locker room. I don't want to put words into his mouth, but I remember him saying there would be an issue. And there are people who play in the NFL who would also think it's an issue.
Oh, yeah,
a lot. And to that, I we followed up by saying, really, even today, it seems like we're kind of past that. And he goes, oh, no, we are not past that.
No, and I guarantee you that the Raiders are pissed, and they're somewhat panicking. And unfortunately, this is going to make this guy's NFL life a lot harder.
Well, that's why it was, I don't mean to sound cliche, but that's why it truly was brave.
Yeah, he's the first
for
guy
him to
ever
come
to
out
do
and
it.
Say that because, I mean, you are going, you work, unfortunately, in a sport where, because of the people we've spoken to, there's a ton of people that aren't as open-minded as some of the people who were supporting you yesterday on Twitter. So for you to come out and willingly make your life more difficult as a player for the greater good, which it sounds like he's trying to do.
Oh, certainly.
That takes a lot of guts.
Oh, this is ballsy as hell because he knows it's an excuse for teams to get rid of you. They'll
saying he's a distraction. Is that what you're saying?
They can't get rid of him because he's a distraction. But it's going to make his career a lot more difficult sticking around places.
It's going to be harder for teams to make that excuse because this guy isn't a special teams player. I mean, this guy plays.
Yeah, he's okay, too.
He's a part-time
starter. All I know is that these teams, as you guys know, and if you are a fan of the Patriots especially, that the last thing they want is anything in the press. They want any distractions.
Sure.
They don't want anything. Now the media is going to be all over this guy. And the world we live in is very confusing on this issue, which I really don't understand why it would bother anyone. It has literally nothing to do with you if the guy's gay or not. Yeah. But it is the NFL, and it is I don't want distractions, and it's going to be
no. But this is
and players are going to get in a lot of players. A lot of players are going to be talking crap about the guy behind his back. It's going to be very, very difficult for him.
But I think this is a very interesting point. I mean, I don't think this guy's going to be the last guy to do it in the near future.
I hope not.
If that's the case, then especially if you get guys like this who aren't special teamers and really play well, You're going to be forcing some hand. Teams can't fall back on that distraction excuse.
Well, it's
they have to. I mean, it may or may not be difficult for players. Hopefully, it becomes easier as time goes on.
Oh, it will.
But players, mm-hmm. but teams can't say, you know what, it's not worth the headache anymore.
But
they can't do that.
Okay,
not
but
that they should have in the first place.
You know how in most businesses, it's like a whole situation to fire someone and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be that way in the NFL now. If this is a domino and many fall after it, then you get to a point where hopefully people use common sense and realize this has nothing to do with them, and that, you know, let the guy live his life and it doesn't affect you in any way. And in fact, the only thing it affects is if he gets involved in these groups and these charities, which, by the way, the reason the suicide prevention for the these communities is necessary is because of the way they're treated. Yeah. And so it's awful. And again, I try to look at both sides of every issue. I could never understand why anyone would care if someone was gay, that it how it affects them in any way, shape, or form. But the NFL is filled with a bunch of closed-minded individuals, and it's going to be a whole thing for him, and it's going to be very, very difficult for him.
And I wonder if it's going to take either, as you said, John, like a multitude of people to come out as well, or whether one big star who's almost like the guy who, you know, I don't want to say
multitude.
It's beyond one. It has to be a multitude to really implement change. This has to be, as Fred said, the first domino.
It's got to be something that it's just part of being on a team, is that there's gay players.
Specifically because of what you were talking about with Brandon Merriweather. I mean, that culture is still there, I would imagine. So if that's the case, and football locker rooms are far behind the times, you need more than just one guy. You need a lot of guys to do this.
In some communities, I mean, it's a huge, you know, attack on your manhood to be, be associating with gay people or whatever else. So, no, it's going to be very, very difficult on this guy, unfortunately. That's why whenever, you know, you read like some tweet or a writer says like, you know, this is so great. And then you go, yeah, it's great. And unfortunately, it's going to be very, very, very difficult on this guy.
Just don't underestimate the amount of guts it took for him to do that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He knows he's not stupid. He knows exactly what's happening, but someone had to be the first, and he's the first. And the good news is, I mean, there's no way he comes out on the wrong side of history. I mean, he's going to be looked upon. He'll be remembered forever. So, I mean, he's got that. All right. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There is lame golf joke talk.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.